46. It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus cried out with a loud voice and said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. This is God's word. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you that we can consider the truth of your death, the good news of it. And I do pray for your grace as I preach this passage. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to see the reality, the relevance, and the glory of your death. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, I think you'll all agree with me that things are not right in the world around us. Things are not right in the world around us. There's much darkness in the world around us. We turn on the news and we learn of all kinds of evil, new evil, repeated evil. There's darkness in our neighborhoods. There's darkness in our own hearts. Not only is there darkness in the world, there's also a loneliness. Loneliness and isolation. In some ways, we're more connected than ever through these things. But there's more loneliness too, and isolation. There's darkness, isolation from each other, a distance from our great God who made us. And not only that, there's also the reality of death. Some of you know people who have, friends who have died this year. Some of you will probably know new people that will die the next year. And all of us will die. Darkness, isolation, death. Is there any hope in the face of these things? Is there any way to find hope?
Yes.
With these, in the midst of this? The answer is yes. These kids are right. Jesus, and yes, that's true. There is a way to find hope in the face of darkness, isolation, and death. And that is through the death of Jesus Christ. The death of Jesus Christ brought about the death of death itself and gives us hope in the face of darkness around us and within us, isolation around us and within us, and the reality of our own literal death. The death of Jesus is good news. And tonight, we're going to consider it together for just a few moments. So we've been reading together tonight through Luke 23 and 24. What have we seen so far? Well, we've seen Jesus has been betrayed. He's been arrested. He's been unjustly condemned. Pilate recognizes there is no guilt in him at all. He's been beaten. He's been mocked. And he's been crucified on a Roman cross, along with two other criminals who were justly condemned. And now we're at the scene of the last few moments of his life in Luke 23, 44 to 46. And we see his death. First, consider with me the darkness of the hour in verses 44 to 45. It says it was about the sixth hour and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour while the sun's light failed. Now, the sixth hour here is referring to around 12 o'clock. And the ninth hour is 3 o'clock. So I have a question for the kids here. At 12 o'clock during the day, is it usually bright or dark?
Dark.
Bright. Bright, right? Noon, it's usually very bright outside. The sun is at its highest moment. But look what happened here in the text. A darkness covered the whole land and the light failed. While Jesus was breathing his last few breaths, last few hours on the cross. Was this a coincidence? No. This was a supernatural sign from God, attesting the reality of the significance of Jesus' death. There was a darkness that covered the land when God the Son went to the cross and paid for our sins on the cross. It was a sign. You know, the darkness of our sin is real and it is great. And Jesus at the cross took the darkness of sin upon himself. All of our sins were placed on him. It was a dark moment, though. The innocent, sinless Son of God went to the cross, and God accompanied that dark moment with the darkness of the skies above. Imagine you're there witnessing Jesus on the cross, and suddenly it becomes dark. And for 3 hours, as Jesus suffers, there's a darkness that covers the land. This was a dark moment. But the darkness doesn't stop there. There is a theological truth that we must behold. The darkness of our own sin. You and I, all of us are sinners here. We've sinned against our good God who loves us. We've broken his law. And our sin leads us guilty before him. But Jesus never sinned. And he went on the cross. And you know what happened? He wasn't only condemned by Pilate, but he took the condemnation of our sin. God's condemnation for sin was placed upon him. Though he had no sin, God made him who had no sin to become sin for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Jesus never sinned in his heart or in his life, and yet he took the guilt and the weight of the sins of the world, of his people, upon himself in that moment. That's a weight and a guilt we cannot fathom. Not only that did he take the weight, but he also took the punishment for sin. God's holy anger was poured out on Jesus Christ on the cross. But not only that, Jesus was making a payment for our sins. Matthew 20:28, Jesus says that he gave his life as a ransom for many. He was paying for our sins. You know what was happening in that dark moment, friends? Jesus was facing the darkness of sin for us. Jesus was facing the darkness of evil for us on the cross. He was staring darkness in the face. And he wasn't backing down. He was taking all of the sins of his people in amazing love and grace on the cross. What amazing love of our Savior. This, your sin, my sin, the sins of his people were being taken on the cross. It was a dark moment, friends. But you know what Jesus said about himself in John 8:12? He says that I am the light of the world. Jesus, the light of the world, died on the cross. And he took the darkness of sin upon himself. And you know what else it says in John? John 1:5? The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it. Actually, the light of the world, Jesus, overcomes the darkness. And that makes Good Friday a good Friday. Because though it was a dark day, Jesus Christ overcame the darkness of sin and evil on the cross. Notice with me something else in the passage here. It was not only dark, but an interesting thing happened in verse 46. It says, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Now maybe you're reading that and you say, that's kind of a strange detail. And why did that happen? How many of you have curtains in your home? Or, yeah, me too. One of the things I did this morning was I opened the curtains. I sat down and had my cup of coffee, read my Bible this morning. This curtain was different than our curtains. Where was this curtain at? What does it say in verse 45? It was the curtain of what?
The temple.
The temple. And it wasn't like the curtain or the outside window. This was the curtain that separated the Holy of Holies from the rest of the temple. The most inner part of the temple, where the Ark of the Covenant and the Ten Commandments were, God's very presence manifested himself. God's people, the regular Israelites, couldn't go in there, couldn't never go past the curtain. The priests, most of the priests could never go past the curtain. Only one priest once a year, the high priest once a year, could go in past the curtain and offer a sacrifice. But for the rest of God's people, the curtain separated them from an infinitely holy God. We are sinful, but God is infinitely holy. And God cannot be in the presence. A holy God cannot be in the presence of sin. So the temple, or the curtain, separates us from him. But you know what happened? You know what Jesus came to do? He came to bring us back to God. That's good news. He came to bring sinners back to a holy God, to reconcile us to a holy God, so that we would no longer be alienated and estranged from God, but become friends of God, children of God. That's really good news. And what happened here is the curtain of the temple was torn in two. This thick curtain was ripped apart. And the way into the Holy of Holies was opened up. That is really good news. And you know what it symbolizes? It symbolizes that the way to God has been opened because Jesus paid for all of your sins and all of my sins. Let me read a reference that I read today. I feel like we gotta hear it in reference to this. It's from the book of Colossians. Listen to what Paul said about what happened here at the cross. In Colossians 1, 21 to 22. This is what Jesus accomplished on the cross and through his death. Colossians 1, 21 to 22. And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds. That's us. Alienated from God. We don't even want God. We're hostile. We're under his wrath. What did he do? Verse 22, Colossians 1. He is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death. He's reconciled us to God. But we don't have to be his enemies anymore. We can be his friends and children. Be close to him forever. Wow. Good Friday. In order to present you, it doesn't stop there. In order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. That's what Jesus did. Jesus, as our high priest, he made you and I, all who are Christians who come to faith in Jesus, holy, blameless, and above reproach before him. Now the curtain's been ripped open and we can come close and be close to God. Good Friday, very good Friday. Because without Christ, we are not holy and blameless and above reproach. We're estranged from God. But through Jesus, through faith in Christ, through him, you might become holy, blameless, and above reproach, and draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, as it says in Hebrews. Wow. That is good news. Good Friday. Jesus Christ gives us hope in the face of isolation from each other and from God because he deals with our sin, which hinders us from God. If you're a Christian, you've been reconciled to God. Jesus, the curtain's been ripped open, friends. We can now draw near to God and enjoy him and be close with him. That's wonderfully good news. And that's what Jesus Christ did. And the curtain torn in two points to that reality. Relationship with God restored. Good news. So Jesus dealt with the darkness. Jesus brought us back to God. And now look at verse 46 of Luke 23. Now we see his very death. Luke 23, 46. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. Now we've reached the very final seconds of Jesus' earthly life. His very last seconds. And what does Luke record for us here? Or he records for us a prayer from Jesus. And what do we see in this prayer? It says, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." We see Jesus, our humble King, trusting in God the Father. God the Son, Jesus is truly God and truly human, trusting God the Father. "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." He's trusting God. He's on the cusp of his death. And he's trusting God. He's on the very brink of death. And he's trusting God. "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Did you know one day you and I will be on the cusp of death too? It's a real problem. It's a real reality in this fallen world. We will be on the cusp of death. And Jesus shows the way. "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." He trusted in God. And he did it for us, because you and I often don't trust God, do we? But he perfectly trusted God. He lived a perfect life for us. And he paid for all of our sins. And he shows us the way forward. So that when you are on your deathbed, you can say this too: "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." That's comforting. That's reassuring. "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Jesus did it. And we can do it too. He prayed that prayer. And what do we see here? Luke records this precious detail in verse 46. "And having said this, he breathed his last." That was Jesus' death. Jesus truly died. Verse 49, the women witnessed it. Verse 48, the crowds were ashamed and left, beating their breasts. Verse 47, when the centurion saw it, he said, "Certainly this man is innocent." Jesus predicted this moment. This was a significant moment, dying on the cross, his death. He told us he would do it. And he did it in love for us. He was perfectly in control. And he breathed his last breath. And he did that in love for his people. Love for you and me. He breathed his last breath. There's a really interesting book about a man studying medicine who gets terminal cancer when he's in his last training to be a doctor. And the title of the book is called "When Breath Becomes Air." It tells the story of actually how he became a Christian when he considered the truth of Christianity. It's a very moving book. But when breath becomes air. Right now we're breathing, but one day we'll breathe our last breath. And Jesus breathed his last breath in love for you and me. Good Friday? Very good Friday. He did that for you and I, friends. And the apostles, reflecting on what happened in 2 Timothy, listen to what Paul says here about what happened. 2 Timothy 1:10. Speaking about Jesus and grace, he says, "In which was this grace has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ." 2 Timothy 1:10, halfway through. Look how Paul the apostle explains what happened when Jesus died. His death and resurrection. "He abolished death And he brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. When Jesus died, he abolished death. He defeated death for us. You and I cannot beat death. Death's going to beat us. But Jesus beat death for us. He abolished death. Death was abolished. That's amazing. One other verse as we wrap up. Look at Isaiah 25:7-8. Isaiah 25:7-8. There's a prophecy in Isaiah. And it says this in Isaiah 25:7-8. As God's people are, in the context of Isaiah, God's people are about to be taken off into exile. They're experiencing the pain and sorrow of sin, the reality of death. And look what this promise is that God makes hundreds of years before Christ comes and is fulfilled in Christ. It says, he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that's cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. 25:8. He will swallow up death forever. That's what happened when Jesus died. He swallowed up death forever. He paid for our sins. He defeated death. And if you believe on Jesus Christ, if you come to him as your Lord and Savior, you will have hope of eternal life as well. As we face death, we can put our hope in Jesus, whose death brought about the death of death. He promises us eternal life. If you believe on Jesus Christ, you can have hope in the face of your own death. The reality is that many people will die and go straight to hell. Maybe some of you here tonight. But I want you to consider the promise of Jesus. If you believe on him, you can have hope of eternal life. Because his death brought about the death of death. He defeated sin and death. Now we can face our own death with hope and confidence, because it's not the end. Because when we die, we'll go to be with Jesus. And that's really good news. Friends, Good Friday is good news. Let's pray together. God, thank you for this time in your word. The realities of Good Friday cannot be captured in a short sermon, but I pray that your spirit would cause the word that we heard to bear fruit in our lives, that you would bring faith and repentance, you'd bring renewal, joy, and hope. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.